What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another Investor's Digest Market Update brought to you by Prime Homes. I am John Barr for your host, and if you're tuning into this on the Investor's Journey, thank you for tuning in. You can head over to YouTube, or you can subscribe to our website for the Investor's Digest and get yourself a PDF copy. If you're watching this on YouTube, do know that we have a podcast where this will be broadcasting on, as well as tips and tricks that John and I handling our business. I can head over to wherever you get your podcasts and search Investor's Journey and check us out there. With that introduction, we will go ahead and get started in this market report. So the March-April number overview, the average sales price here in San Antonio was $261,616, which was a 2.74% increase year over year. Median sales price was $210,000, which is a 2.4% increase this time last year. Total sales is up to 2907, which is a almost 5% increase year over year at 4.9. Average rental price for March was up to 1441 with a 1.3% increase year over year, heading strong into the hot months. I would expect that to continue to rise, and we'll see if we'll top over the 1500 like we did last summer. Employment in San Antonio is just sitting at just over 1.17 million people. 1.17 million. And which is a 2.13% increase year over year. And we gained just shy of 3,000 jobs from the previous month, sitting at 2,956. So that is good. Unemployment decreased 0.32% to 3.11% over March. So gaining jobs and employment sitting steady. Houses are continuing to rise at a moderate pace. So that's good. Nothing getting too hot, nothing cooling off. Just kind of holding that average. So that's good to see. Months inventory was 3.59 months inventory. Now remember, that is what we as investors use to gauge the temperature of the market, whether it's a buy or seller market. How that kind of really works out is a 6 month of inventory is considered your balanced market. Anytime that number starts dropping below six for a certain area, a certain neighborhood, or a certain price point, you are entering more of a seller market, meaning that the seller has a little more negotiating power because the supply and demand is off towards the seller's favor. It means there's a lot of demand, not enough supply. So basically how that's configured is all of the homes that were sold this previous month, you divide into divide the number of active homes in a certain area by the number of houses that sold in the last month. So how many months would it take at the current pace to absorb all inventory? So 6 months is balanced, and we're currently sitting at 3.59%, which is what you're seeing driving up prices here in San Antonio. And that is a just shy of a month decrease from the previous month. So I would expect that to continue to drop as we head into May, June, July, which is the hot season for real estate prices. And then nothing illustrates it more than just looking at the plotted average from June 2010 to March 2019, where you can see we kind of bottomed out right there at the bottom of 2011. Every year, we year over year have pretty much basically increased where we were sitting at about 235,000 at the bottom of January 2011, and we're sitting at 210,000 now with a high of 225 we hit last year. So I would expect to kind of see that continue to rise as we move into the summertime. Nothing is really indicating that job growth is slowing down and real prices are slowing down from appreciation. So the way we kind of use this in our business is we try to time as much as possible. We don't wait months to list a house. But if we know we're heading into the hot season, we might really try to push the market a little bit to see if we can continue to rise that wave up. And we're heavy in buying in the cold months because we want to buy those houses, get them renovated, and hit the market in the April, May, June, July timeframe when you can see you have this big upswing in median sales prices. Monthly rents pretty much follow the same trajectory where it goes up in the summertime, down in the wintertime on the average rents. So for us, we constantly try to keep leases. And I mean, for you landlords out there, like, you're the landlord. Nothing says you have to give a 12-month lease or a 18-month lease. I'll sign 11-month leases, 16-month leases, or 7-month leases to make sure I end at the April-May timeframe so I can, if a tenant does move out, I have time to get it back on the market at these high times of summer times when everybody's really moving around. People are moving from out of state and coming here into San Antonio or wherever it may be where that you are tuning into this. Excuse me. So kind of keep that in mind that real estate, just like everything, has a cycle. Higher prices, higher sales volumes in the summertime. Lower prices, lower sales volume in the wintertime. So kind of use that to your advantage, especially if you are a landlord, as you can structure those leases. I've done all kinds of numbers from 15 to 7 to 11 to 24 down from that point right there to make sure I end in April in case that tenant does move out. I have time to do any renovations, get it cleaned up, and get it back on the market and get that property performing again. Now you can see the 20-year unemployment, and why I really track this is you can kind of see here when we hit our economic recessions how fast that unemployment rate starts to climb up. Now you can see that we peaked in unemployment, and for those of you that remember, the stock market really started bottoming out in 2009. Well, real estate didn't bottom out till 2 years later, so you can kind of keep that in mind that real estate prices react to what is going on the market down the line. So that's why I do track unemployment, because if I see unemployment spiking month over month, like you can see in the chart from the last two recessions, I'm going to start getting a little worried and really starting to look closer into data, trying to figure out what's going on, what's causing it, and do my best to try to position myself to shield from the economic downturn in prices and better position myself to take advantage of opportunities that might present themselves. Now, the year-over-year appreciation. Total average from that I've been tracking this, which is from June 2011 to March 2019, we've averaged 5.2%. And the 12-month trailing average is 5.3. So it's kind of right there in the historical, but we are not anywhere near as high as we were when we were coming in 2011 through 2015, where we were hitting 10% throughout the year and hitting into the 8s and 9s, where we've only hit 9 one time in the last 3 years, pretty much. So I like to track that and kind of see, like, is it slowing down? Is it picking up? What is it doing as far as price increases? And it shows here that it seems like it's starting to slow down a little bit. And what I think is causing that is we're hitting a affordability issue, that we just don't have the room for a huge housing stock to really appreciate up to that affordable housing number. So now the favorite part of the market update is where to market. Where is the best place that you can market to get kind of the best bang for your buck, depending on as far as the data standpoint goes. And I really attribute that to price range and months of inventory, then down to zip code. So by price range, I do it by 50,000 or 50,000 increments. And you can see really where the most in-demand housing in the city is. And it's always been the 200 and under. And that's why for our business, we always try to get our renovations in that sub 200, because you can put out a decent product, but you don't have much competition, where if your house is good looking, qualifies for financing, it has no major problems, there's a good chance that it's going to be worth more in 2, 3, 4 months after you bought it than when you bought it, when you go to list it and get your renovation done. But that you can see, remember that month's inventory, what our balanced market was 6 months inventory, and you still don't hit that till you get into the 400,000 and up price range. So it kind of drops off from there. But as the price is starting to increase, that number increases with it. But the most in-demand housing is in that sub 200 market. And what I think is causing that is we still have a lot of housing stock that is inner city that the developers can't develop on, or big developers can't develop on, that are up under that 200,000. So those are increasing very rapidly, because if you want a brand new house that's under 200,000, you're out in the county, you're a long ways from big economic employers and big salaries type employment. So that's what I think is causing that affordable housing. And there's a lot of sales volume that happens in that $100,000 to $200,000 price range. Now, by zip code is the next place which I track, and I go ahead and put on here what it was 2 years ago, so you can see what low months inventory can really do in a short period of time. So the best zip code right now based on low months inventory is 78252 and 250, and which these are very large zip codes. And they're sitting at 1.4 and 1.5 months inventory, and there's a lot of sales volume in there. And you can really see that in April 2017 in 78252, housing was selling, median sales price was $151,000. Well, this time, or March of this, or April of this year, it was at $193,000. Talking $40,000 of appreciation in just 2 years. And what that's caused is low months of inventory and people moving into the area. As soon as something hit the market, boom, they're getting asking price, above asking price, at a very rapid pace. So appraisers will give adjustment for that. Another thing I take from this is you can see the average sales price. The majority of these are, I mean, all of them except for one are in the sub 250,000, and eight of them are, or seven of them are under 200,000. So that's why we like to target those price points, because you can see some of these things that have gone up $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in just 2 years. So that's why we kind of like to target into that area for our renovations and kind of buy and hold properties. Now, I put on here worse zip codes. Now, this isn't to say that these are bad zip codes to do marketing in, because you can see in the average sales price, they're very large property values. I mean, you're $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 properties, and they do appreciate over time. And you think about it, if you're trying to get 30% margin, or you're trying to get 20% of profit on a sales price or capital spent, I'd rather want 20% on $500,000 than 20% on a $150,000. It's a much bigger price point that you are getting, but your risk level does go up. You can see the months of inventory at that price point is sitting at 5-6 months of inventory. So what you want to do with that is make sure that you look at your competition and see what, and ask yourself, what is it that I need to do to this house to make sure that my house does not stay on the market for 5 months, or in that average days on market, as realtors like to put it. Where do you need to spend money? Do you need to do more landscaping, better pictures, more staging, putting more income in, or funds into your high return areas of their houses, like with your kitchens and your bathrooms, and putting more money into those areas to make sure that your house looks beautiful, because you get one opportunity to get that first impression. And with 5 months inventory, that means that buyers have a lot more to choose from when they're looking in a certain area. So a lot of these zip codes are kind of inner city, out in Stone Oak, here in San Antonio on the north side, where your typical higher prices are. So if you're doing renovations in there, ask yourself those questions. Like, look at the information and know, like, how long has it taken something to sell on average in this zip code? And what do you need to do to make sure your house does, it beats that average? Because 5 months of sitting on the market at a hard money loan, or paying money at $300,000-$400,000, every interest payment is straight out of your bottom line. So anything you can do in the house to save yourself 3 months, and potentially, what's that? I mean, if you're paying $4,000 a month in interest only, it's $12,000 if you can cut 3 months off your listing time. So keep that stuff in mind when you're doing these kind of renovations and wanting to target into these kind of price points, that you need to increase your hold time, because there's a high likelihood, and data does support it, that it's not going to sell above asking price in a matter of a week. So like you could potentially, or a lot of times what happens when you're in that sub $200,000 market. So that really concludes this month's market update. Like I said, if you are listening to this on the Investor's Journey podcast and you want a copy of the PDF slides, you can head to YouTube or and check out our channel there, and you can see this video that I'm walking through, or you can head over to the Investor's Digest at Prime, or head over to Prime Homes and subscribe to the Investor's Digest, and you can get this delivered in your email inbox every month. And if you are watching this on YouTube or getting this in your video in your inbox, and you want to see what we go about talking about on our podcast, which has become very popular, we get a lot of good reviews from it, head over to wherever you get your podcasts from, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and search an Investor's Journey. Give us a like, give us a listen, and if you like what you hear, definitely leave us a review. You can obviously reach out to us on social media as well, very active on there, at Prime Homes. So with that, that is the end of it. We will see you guys next month. Happy investing.